Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Seattle won the big game this year, and in honor of our team's victory, Robin Alexis created an ebook titled Seattle Super Bowl. That's S-O-U-P-E-R Bowl. Soup recipes. While watching the victory parade, she started to reflect on the thousands of people who are homeless and hungry in Seattle, many of whom are our nation's veterans and children. You can download this free ebook from the homepage of Robin's website, robinalexis.com. Robin asks that after you download your free soup recipe ebook, you take a moment and donate to a nonprofit organization that helps feed people in your local area. Enjoy the memories of Seattle's great victory and enjoy the soup recipes for generations to come, and relish the fact that you donated to help feed the hungry as well. Defeating hunger and homelessness is one of the biggest and greatest victories our country can achieve. To quote Margaret Mead, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. You can download this free soup recipe ebook from the homepage of robinalexis.com.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch. That will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And just a couple of business things to cover here before we get back to Wales. And that would be to let you know, anyone who doesn't know, Aji has retired from Animal World, so we have a volunteer call screening position open. We would love to have you become part of the Animal World family and join us behind the scenes. Kathy will attest that it's lots of fun. And so if you are interested in applying for the volunteer call screening position with Animal World, you can call me at my home office at 360-217-7258, 360-217-7258, or you can shoot me an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or go to marthanorwalk.com, click on Contact Martha, and send an email to my home office computer. All right, the other thing I want to let you know, if you're just tuning in for the second hour, is next week is the third Sunday of the month. For the last almost 2.5 years, that's been Kevin and Kim Sunday. Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive. And you need to know that next week is their farewell show with Animal World. They've got both very busy schedules and are taking the summer off. So it's your last opportunity to let Kim help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other, and to thank them and wish them well. So if you've been thinking for a long time, gee, I should call and have Kim talk to my animals, next week is your last chance. So be sure and tune in for that. Now, I'm delighted to say my cousins, Marcy and John Edwards, are here. We are talking about their very recent trip down to the lagoons in Baja. Now, is it Baja, California, or Baja in Mexico?
Good way.
It's called both.
Baja Sur. But the whales and all of the lagoons are really in the southern portion of Baja.
So that's
Baja
technically Sur. Mexico,
no,
isn't it?
Excuse me.
It is. Oh, it's Mexico,
Mexico,
but
yeah,
I think
Mexico.
It's like a state, Baja, yeah. California.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And it's a Mexican state, but okay. They still call
excuse
it California.
Excuse me,
they still
there
call
is
it California.
A
okay.
Biosphere that is sort of in the southern portion, I think.
Okay, so anyway, now John and Marcy decided last minute to join their neighbors and get on this tour. They went with Baja Air Ventures. Before they went, I told them, and they did their homework. They ordered Whales Touching the Mystery by Doug Thompson, read the book, watched the DVD, so they were all educated and prepared. The book went with them, and even in the boats.
Yes.
And because it's Baja Air Ventures, I guess that's because they fly you in there. And there were three couples here from our local area, and then two other couples from other parts of the country. Right. And you all congealed down there in San Diego?
Right.
Yes.
So what happened then?
Well, actually, the preparation beforehand was we could only take 20 pounds total, carry on whatever.
That's individually or together?
Individually.
20 pounds.
20 pounds.
Which isn't very much.
No, when you think about it, and because there was a long list of things that we needed to be taking, and surprisingly, you think that Baja, you know, it's very warm down there, but because we would be in the boats and because we would be getting splashed, and sometimes the whales would be spouting on us. But and it was chilly in the evening. We had to take some, you know,
you had to have
rain
warmer
gear
clothes
too.
As yeah. well as sun stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But only 20 pounds, that's not very much. So did you just each only have like a carry-on bag? Is that all?
That's it.
A duffel,
that's it.
Yeah.
Just
so
carry
did you?
On.
Did were you able to cram everything
we,
in there?
We did it, and one of the reasons is that we were not going in a large commercial plane down to Baja.
Oh,
is that we were in a very small plane that only would seat. Well, we just had five.
You flew commercially from Seattle to San Diego.
Right.
But
right.
then the Baja private. Air Ventures, oh, I see, they fly you from San Diego to Baja.
That's right.
And it's a private plane that you fly?
There were two small ones.
This whole organization, Baja Air Adventures, started because, number one, Kevin is the head of it, and his wife owns a beautiful section on the Sea of Cortez, right? And he is a diehard pilot. He came and met us in his leather jackets and everything. They have several small planes, and the whole idea is to have make this a private plane that flies you from Brownfield, right north of the border, mm-hmm. over to where the whales are in Ojo de Libra. And then we spend 2 days there, and then we fly again, all private. And so that means they can go down and buzz the camp. They can fly right over the coast. It's really cool.
So then, they give you kind of an air tour as
air
well.
Tour.
Air tour,
and,
right.
And the pilots are, you know, they're great pilots and guides during the whole thing with us, even on the boats. And they
so the pilots stay with you through the whole trip?
The whole thing.
Yes, they do, and they are very knowledgeable. I was just astonished at how they talked about the whales and everything.
Yeah, and then they fly from there over to the Sea of Cortez. So in a sense, it's the best way of getting of an ecotour down there, because you have both the Pacific, where the gray whales are. Then you fly over to the Sea of Cortez for 3 nights, and we stayed in yurts. And you got wild, wonderful.
Okay, so we understand, because Mike wants to jump in.
Just
here.
A quick question. Where did you clear customs on your way down?
I was thinking
and
that
what
too.
Was clearing
San,
customs
San Felipe,
like?
Yes, you're absolutely right. We flew from San Diego to San Felipe on the Gulf of California on Sea of Cortez, went through customs. Then we flew, continued that same day over to...
And customs wasn't any big deal getting through there. But don't you have to have birth certificates and passports and all that kind of junk to go into Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the usual.
The usual stuff.
And so then we flew to Guerrero
Negro,
to the small town where we got in a van. And then we went.
And this is the first day?
This is the first day.
The first day. Okay.
And then we went in a van over to the coast and to the lagoon. And then we got in the boats. And the boats are.
So you didn't. Where did you stay?
We didn't even check in.
No, you didn't. You went straight from
to
you
the
all
whales.
Of this,
yeah.
And you went right to the boats.
We went right to the whales.
It's an all inclusive thing. So we had our a little lunch. In the van going down over to the boat.
Oh, so with the Baja Air, it's a whole,
picnic
they
lunch.
Take care of everything.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so it wasn't until after we got to see the whales and touch the whales the very first day that we went back to a kind of like a B&B in that little town or village. But
so you went straight to the boats, and you said it's like a 23-foot boat?
Yeah.
Like a
yeah.
carved out wood boat with a outboard motor on it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fiberglass.
And you're fiberglass.
It was a very sturdy. I mean, it was a very well built boat. It was not wimpy, but
small, open, but well built,
but open.
But you're going out into the lagoons with the gray whales, for crying out loud!
Right.
And
yeah.
how they're like huge.
Yeah,
exactly.
So there were about five of us in five. Passengers in each or six.
Five or six in each boat?
Yeah. And then you had the guy, the pilot, and then the Mexican fisherman guide.
Okay. So who drives the boat? The Mexican guide.
Yes, guide.
Fisherman,
the local fisherman.
Drives the boat.
Yeah.
But the pilot is like your guide for the whale? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And then we went in. Now, the lagoon that we were in has an outer lagoon, which is huge. But shallow.
Okay, so but now because this is all the first day.
So
you've flown. You've started up here in Seattle, and now we're down in Baja in a boat.
No,
San Diego. You started from San Diego.
We started from
San Diego. Okay,
and we went down the night before and stayed in a hotel.
Gotcha. Okay,
in,
and then
San Diego.
So we start in San Diego, flew there. So what time of day is it now that you get to the lagoon on the boat?
I would say about 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So early afternoon.
We got to the airport to all kind of gather together, and they said they would leave before 8, and so we got there at 7. But we were just all, it was very organized, and we had little duffel bags. And
your little 20 pounds.
And they led us right out to the tarmac. And we got in the airplane. Now, this is an interesting thing, is that because they're very small planes, we had to be assigned a special seat according to our size and weight and everything. And so
they planned where you sat in the small
where we
plane.
Would sit, yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it would be balanced, and we put all of our gear in a very small, storage locker in the side of the plane. But it was... and as we started flying up, and this is a very tiny plane. I haven't been in a plane like that for a long time. John used many years ago was a pilot, and I think I got to fly with him a couple times. But this was quite an experience. So this small plane and flying low over the very barren Mexican terrain,
Sonoran
desert. It's And all the rocks and everything. And then you come down, you dip down over to the Sea of Cortez side for your very first stop, which will be San Felipe for customs. But, I have to say, I felt very confident and calm in flying with the pilot.
That's good.
Our pilot was very, very good.
It would not be my first choice of things to do.
Yeah,
but
you know, our pilot's name was Andy, and he was wonderful.
And you felt comfortable.
I really felt comfortable from the very first time.
And you're alive and well. Still here on the planet, so you survived. All right, so then by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're down to the first lagoon.
Not the outer one, but the inner one.
Oh. Kathy wants to do a live remote on this whale trip. Yeah,
she's voting for
let's take Animal World to the lagoon.
Well, okay. I was thinking of that too. Is there a way that you?
I don't think we could plug the tie line in on the boat in the lagoon.
You
so
would
I think
love
we
it.
Need
you
a phone
it.
Line to oh. do the show. I don't think we could do that. So anyway, you're on this 23-foot boat.
That's
with
right.
an outboard, five, six people in the boat. We've got the Mexican fisherman driving the boat, and the pilot, Andy,
yeah.
mm-hmm. is our guide.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so we're out now in the lagoon, and we're looking around and for the
and
whales.
And you said it's very shallow, John.
It's probably averages maybe 20 feet, but there are little channels in there. And this is important because the whales... need the smaller, the shallower deal because these are mammals. The babies need to breathe. And so after they birth, kind of probably in one of the lower channels and secluded ones, then the mothers just raise the babies right up to the surface for their first breath.
Oh.
We didn't see that part, but the researchers have seen this time and again. But anyway, Mitsubishi, the great, has a huge
the car plant
salt.
Thing.
Yeah, that Wait. Company has a salt company mine or operation in this lagoon,
but not near it.
And so they do have channels for the boats to take the salt out there.
Okay, I see.
It's important for the whales to get in this place because sharks and orcas don't go in there. They don't go out of the Pacific into here because it's protected.
Well, and just how big is an adult gray whale?
40 tons.
40
yeah, 30
tons.
To 40 tons.
Holy moly. And about how long head to tail, give or take?
They're about, what was it? About 40 feet? Yeah, that's around 40 feet.
40 tons.
No, it's more than that. 80.
I think that they're 40 tons, and the babies are almost 2,000 pounds at birth.
They're about 1,500, and just shy of a ton at birth.
And then they eat like a lot.
Were there a lot of mommy whales and babies that first day when you got down there? Did you get to see any?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that was the thing that, one of the things that sort of surprised me is that we were not out chasing whales, but we would just, he would position the boat. There were two boats at this point. We had two boats, and they're called pangas or pangas, and that's what the Mexicans, is fishing. Mm-hmm. And so we were there in two boats and just sort of quietly waiting, and the fisherman guide would kind of slap the side of the boat and splash some water. And also they would turn off the engine or put it in neutral. Now the whales are attracted to the vibrations and to the motor humming. And so, but you don't obviously want to hurt them. So you put it in neutral. And so then we would begin to see the mothers and the babies begin to come closer. And
so they actually came to you.
They
whales come to you.
Us. And so this...
No, Kathy wants to know, we got a question here. This is, are the mothers very protective of these babies? And does that cause you to be extra cautious around them?
Oh, they are very protective. We didn't feel any need to be cautious around them. I mean, before 1970... you be cautious, but for some reason they've said, hey, these guys are safe in here. And because of the Mexicans that have clear back in 1937 started protecting whales, they feel safe you know, among the boats.
Well, and we know everything. From the work that's been done with animal communicators and our own Mary Gatton up here and orca, communicating with orcas, her book and all of that, you know, how intelligent whales are and how what great communicators they are. So mm-hmm. I'm sure these whales have to know.
Yeah.
You know, they feel it, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and that's bringing me, okay, so the first day, you said just two boats, but mm-hmm. I'm wondering, in my mind, I'm wondering, is this like a big tourist trap? Are there like boats all over the lagoon, or are you the only two boats out there?
We didn't see a lot of boats. No.
Oh, okay.
There were
so it isn't really crowded with a lot of.
No, we didn't.
Okay. As a matter of fact, a friend of ours tried to go windsurfing there, and they said, nope, can't even windsurf. So it's really restricted. No other boats other than just the whale.
Accepted the ones.
But back, all right, time out. We have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors because that's what allows us to tell these wonderful stories. So everybody, listen, this is the most important part of the show. Without them, there's no us. So listen, pay attention, support them, thank them. And then as Animal World continues right next, we're going to find out, we're going to hear, I want to know your first whale experience. I mean, because I understand they were right within inches of you, and you got to touch them right that first. I want to hear about that. So stay right where you are. We are really going up close and personal with these whales straight ahead right here on Animal World Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Are you still kissing frogs? Tired of sacrificing yourself in relationship? Suffer from a broken heart? Let energy matchmaker and former frog kisser Jana Rosewood help. For over a decade, Jana has helped relationship seekers gain clarity in their ability to attract and maintain right relationship with a trustworthy partner. She co-authored the book with her husband of 19 years, Are You Still Kissing Frogs? Leap into real solutions to attract your genuinely committed relationship. Meet with Jana in person at East West Bookshop, where she is available for private intuitive consultations on April 19th and May 31st. Contact Jana today at rosewoodwisdom.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcome back Echo Bodine with stories of redemption perfect for Good Friday.
And on Saturday, Dr. Judith Orloff talks about ways in which surrender actually empowers your life.
Then Rosemary Ellen Guiley brings her extraordinary background in psychical research to the subject of dreams and their link to the spirit world.
Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information. Attention pet lovers, we all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymakers Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1913.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk here, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World and the Whales. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. My cousins, Marcy and John Edwards, are in the studio. We're talking about their up-close and personal visit with the gray whales down in Baja this last month. And to clarify some details about the gray whales here, because is this education that you got on the tour, or is this stuff you downloaded?
No, there's a link that we
research.
Were
okay, at.
That
you got. Okay, research. So gray whales are 30 to 40 tons. Adult males generally grow to around 45 feet. Adult females are slightly larger. And remember that gray whales have no dorsal fin. They have a dorsal hump.
And then those knuckles.
Followed by a series of 6 to 12 knuckles along the dorsal ridge. That's fascinating.
So anyway, we are
okay, so first day, we're in the boat, you're out there, two boats, and you stop. They position the boat in the right place.
And they're not too close.
Turn off the motor or neutral, and then they splash the water and tap the boat a little bit, and that's to let the whales know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whales start moving into you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
That was and I think that first time when we were, sitting in the boat and we could see the mother and the baby headed right toward us. I mean, it was like she was just going to, slam into the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just kind of almost in a very gentle way, nudging up close to the boat.
So the whale is obviously very aware of you in the boat and is specifically coming in.
And
they could knock you, fanny over tea kettle there and no short order, but they don't do that, huh?
No.
They just...
What was so amazing is that they it was like they are these gigantic, very majestic, grand creatures. I mean, you just are in awe of them. And then these babies by their side, and the baby stays very close to
the
mother.
Did you feel any fear, or were you just in awe of this whole
Thing? Well, I think the feeling was one of awe and just what's going to happen, because honestly, I didn't know if the whale was going to come and then just suddenly dive under the boat. We've seen whales come alongside our sailboat, but not too close.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the dull porpoises come just swim in the bow wave, but we've never had the experience where a whale would be that close. I mean, it was just incredible. And so it came very close, and I thought, my God, is it going to come? Is it going to dive under? But it didn't. It sort of slowed up and then just came very close to the boat.
Well, and how close is close?
I mean, there were several whales time, not just the two, but they would sometimes come so close. I mean, close enough that you could reach down and touch them.
Wow.
And so we kind of got
So the top of them is out of the water right next to the boat?
Yes, that's right.
You can reach out and touch them?
Sometimes they're submerged.
Yeah, partially submerged.
10 feet, so you can kind of see. The water's clear enough that you can kind of see, here they come. Yeah. And you can see
their shadowy
little
shapes
patches
under the water.
Of white or barnacles come. So you can see them. And then
So what's it like to touch a whale?
Well, as we reached over and I felt and stroked the head, and I mean, it was just like I was in another...
It's like
plane.
Soft leather skin.
Soft
yeah,
leather.
It's very
and
soft.
And I looked closely, and there was in about every 6 inches or 8 inches or something like that, there were little kind of dimples and a little hair sticking out.
Wow.
And they told us before, don't pat them.
Don't pet the whales.
Don't pat them.
Pat them.
Don't pat them. They don't like that. But if you stroke them,
they like stroking.
They like that. And they'll stay there quite a while. They have such a sense of their body space that the mothers, I don't think they've even ever touched our boat at all. But the little babies would play somewhat with the boats and push us around a little.
But a little baby, you're talking 2 tons.
Two tons.
That's right. And they would get under the boat, and so sometimes we
were 2,000 pounds.
And we would feel a little rocking, you know. I mean, they'd get a little playful.
So the moms were real respectful and didn't actually touch the boat, but the babies bounced you around a little bit, huh?
Yeah, some of them. There would be a shy baby, and the mother would actually nudge the baby up to the boat.
Wow.
So... Yeah.
So they really encouraged their babies to meet you humans.
Yeah. It was really, again, you sort of had this feeling of, I felt very privileged because I thought, my goodness, you know, it's almost like the mother is introducing her baby to us and almost asking for a blessing or something.
Yeah.
We would stroke the head. And now one thing
they
about
were probably
them,
healing you. But
it was a very, I mean, two ways. It was a two-way communication, let me tell you. But the mothers have barnacles. They've been around.
On the picture on whales touching the mystery, the Doug Thompson book, the head of the whale is out, but you can see the barnacles all over the skin.
And they have kind of like an orange whale lice, which is...
Now,
awesome.
Is that what's on the top of this whale, that orangey color on the top of it there?
Yeah.
And that's a whale lice?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then they have these crusty barnacles, but the babies are, and the mothers are gray, of course, and they have some white patches too. The babies are, they seem darker to me, a little darker gray.
Darker
well,
color.
They don't have the patches.
All the rest of it.
Yeah.
So did you get to touch the babies or just the moms?
Oh, yeah.
You got to stroke everybody.
Their nose would come right up, you know, even right with you. And a couple times here.
So
was
they're really soliciting attention. Yeah.
The eye looking right at you, and you think, what are they saying to us? And there's a real kind of, it's not saying, it's just this connection that you have.
It felt very spiritual to me in a way, in that you're sitting there stroking the whale, and the eye is looking right. I have a picture of the eye looking right up at us, but I just felt like for a moment in time, I am eye to eye with a whale, and it certainly was an amazing experience.
And simultaneously, you think, it wasn't that long ago that we were slaughtering these whales. And they have experienced in their lifetime the hunting of whales. Now, how on earth could these intelligent beings be so forgiving as to actually encourage their little babies to come and say, you know, make friends? It's awesome. Yeah. You just don't know.
I think
well,
Doug
I don't know.
Thompson.
I'm feeling in my heart with that is that it's because they're ambassadors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have something to teach
us. This is part of the process
they're teaching us.
And healing the relationship between humans and the whales and letting us know what intelligent sentient beings they are.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to pay attention to what's going on. You know, around the world, because you know there still is whale slaughter going on. Yeah. You know, and dolphin slaughter and all
there
that sort
is.
Of thing. And you know, and their orca brothers and sisters and Sea Worlds and all of that sort of stuff. So,
well, one of the
let's stay in the lovely piece.
Yes.
Of,
well, one of the yes, and one of the takeaways I felt is that if you are open to the whales and if you're open to that experience and if you the more you learn, and you'll realize that there's nothing to fear and that the whales are a very generous with their
presence
and their blessings and their being, yes.
And their consciousness.
And really,
I wonder too, and we're getting want to know if we can get some of your pictures up on our website. So maybe, I mean, you know, when
later,
you get home,
yeah,
when you get your pictures, you know, and if there are any that you could email me, then, you know.
Does
then
your
we
website
can,
take videos?
Well, probably not, but it's currently being rebuilt because I have a very old website, but it's being rebuilt now, and we're going to be launching a new one here in a while. Then we'll be able to put up a video, I'm sure. I don't think that we can right now.
Our friend in Bellevue
that
went with us had an incredible video.
Incredible video? Yeah. Okay, we'll have to remember that for when my new website is. So maybe we'll launch with a new video and stuff. Yeah. Cool. All right. So this is our first visit. How spectacular. And how long did you stay out on the water in these boats that first day with the whales?
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Wow. 2 hours, yes. And then we go in, and then we would go. And then the second day, we went out to see.
Where did you stay? Now, you were at a bed and breakfast in that town?
Yeah, it was in the town, and you take a van from where the boats are moored back to the town,
That's with Guerrero Negro.
Negro.
It means black warrior, and it's named for a whaling ship that went down there.
Okay.
Anyway, the company, this
Baja Air Ventures,
actually, they've hired, in a sense, the cook and this place, and they have reserved this bed and breakfast type of place.
So all five of you
just their customers, yeah.
So you all stay in the same bed and breakfast?
Yes.
That's right.
Cool.
And we go back and
so you
start
probably
off
have
wonderful food.
Pretty good friends with these other five couples.
That's
you knew some of them going down, but the other from the...
Yeah.
Did you all get along okay and all?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
You didn't have any ringers on the trip.
It was wonderful.
The first thing when we got there after getting our little duffel bags in our room.
Your 20 pounds.
They hand us this wonderful margarita. And that was kind of the tradition, you know, each evening before dinner, they really knew how to make margaritas. The pilots, the guides, were the ones doing it, making them. And all of this is all inclusive. You don't have to worry about the money part. So... not at this point.
You already did that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's great. So you stay in the bed and breakfast and then have another day in the town and out on... And did you just go out once a day out on the...
Twice a day.
Twice, okay.
The outer lagoon as well as the inner lagoon. In the outer lagoon, you see there's a little more activity of the males and some maybe... And they said that is... Outer Lagoon is more where the mating goes on. I did not see any of that. But
we were too late too for a lot of the mating.
Yeah, but because the mating real when they come back down from the Arctic, down to the lagoons, and it takes 2 to 3 months to get down there, and then sometimes they will arrive, December, January, early January to breed, and then the females that have gone down there, they generally will give birth in February and March, early March. So, some of that was already, the babies were already born and already seemed like very big creatures to us.
They are big by this time because when these babies are born, they weigh around 1,300 pounds, but they eat or suck, I'm not sure how they get it in, 190 to 300 gallons of milk a day.
Holy mackerel.
They gain 60 pounds a day.
Wow.
And this milk is very rich. It's like 53% fat. It's a very thick cream.
Well, and gray whales though,
they're
plankton eaters and stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah, crustaceans. How they eat, they when they do now, they don't eat when they're down there in Baja. Hardly at all. They're not interested in food.
They eat up in the Arctic. That's what they're cruising up now.
Yeah, Bering Sea and so forth. Yeah.
And they'll go in. There's some resident rails. I mean, they as a stopover, they sometimes go on Puget Sound over to Langley. And how they feed is they go down to the bottom and sometimes turn over on their side and they dig a great big pit. And they filter out all the sand and stuff and come up with all these little crustaceans, the ghost shrimp and all that, and that's how they feed. Wow. And then they continue on with their trip.
Fascinating. All right, we're gonna take care of our advertisers and sponsors. But you stayed 2 days in this first lagoon?
Yes.
First place in the bed and breakfast. All right, so we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Everybody, stay right where you are, and then we get on the plane again and fly the second place, and so we will find out where they fly, and this is where you stay in yurts and stuff, and that ought to sound familiar from Helen and Bill Thayer, because they stayed in yurts in Africa and that kind of stuff. So we'll see if they're the same kind of yurts. Anyway, stay right where you are. More whales to come right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
BioClean Incorporated is a fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractor working under the authority of the Washington State Health Department. BioClean helps with extremely difficult situations, including hoarding of both objects and animals, the cleanup of trauma scenes, rodent infestations, mold issues, and cleanup of the aftermath of sewage and flood events. If the unthinkable happens to you and you're faced with a situation that involves a crime, trauma, or tragedy, you need to call BioClean. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated pride themselves on combining compassion with expertise and professionalism. Serving all of Washington State, BioClean offers professional certified 24-hour emergency service with no additional charge for night or weekend calls. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300. Or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job, and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges, and making sense out of chaos. And living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Accutonics for Dogs and Cats and Accutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help.
Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We are live in the studio with my cousins, Marcy and John Edwards, and we're talking whales, 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 and they have just recently returned from their up-close personal visit with the gray whales in Baja. Ooh, and we've been looking at pictures. Wow. Oh, and this cute. Oh, is this a baby? Yeah. Or is this a, yeah, okay, baby whale has poked its nose up out of the water, and who's that? Somebody's reaching over. And John is reaching over and poking the nose, touching the nose, touching the nose with the
I'm
finger.
I'm stroking
the nose. I do that
nose.
With my kid. You're stroking the nose. Look at this, Mike.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Poking the nose of the
know,
baby?
It's,
Isn't
I don't.
That special? Yeah, that's so cool. All right. And let's see. We had somebody phone in, wanted to know the gestation period for gray whales is, according to the literature, is 12 to 13 months.
Yep.
And Mike says whales vary gestation. But gray whales, according to this literature, is 12 to 13 months. And well, hey, what do you say? We have your neighbor Kathy on the line is calling in.
Oh,
shall
good.
We let her join the conversation?
That'd be great.
All right. Let's Kathy, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Marcy and John.
Hello, and we are enjoying listening to them. They are sharing just the same experience we felt.
Well, and apparently this is all your fault, huh?
Yeah, she's the one who got us into this.
And I just had to call in because I've been signed up with the Orca Network website for, probably 5 years.
Oh, yeah, what can you tell us about that?
And so I just thought you might want to share this with all of your listeners.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it this morning. They do a trip to San Ignacio Lagoon every year. And that trip this year was, I think, March 5th to the 13th or something. But their website has all of the pictures that you're oohing and aahing over that you're looking at there. So the listeners might enjoy going on that. But
and so that is what, Orca Network?
It's www.orcanetwork.org.
Okay, so www.orcanetwork.org, okay.
And people can sign up for the Orca Network whale sighting reports, and you get those about every 2 or 3 days, I think it is. And I just got one on Thursday on the 10th, and the gray whales who come in to Puget Sound on their way up from Baja to Alaska have arrived here. And the report this week, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, right off of Langley, and they have a whale bell that they have right out on the boardwalk kind of there above the beach.
Uh-huh.
And if somebody sees a whale, they ring the bell.
Oh,
isn't that cool? I didn't realize it.
Yeah, and on Thursday here, a lady wrote in that the whale has been ringing a lot today, so they've been all over Saratoga Passage and around Hat Island, Vashon, down around Vashon Island, off of Everett, and up by CQ, so they're making their way up. So,
now, do I understand the timing right, Kathy, with these whales that we're seeing now off our coast? Are these the adult whales without babies? The moms and babies are probably still down in Baja and haven't started up the coast yet, or are these moms
some may have started. What I was reading is, you know, Marcy and John were preparing to be on your show. I was helping. We were looking up a lot of information. And some of the moms and babies will stay into May. But most of them, it's what I read was late March into mid-April, they start out on their trek north. And once they leave that lagoon area, then they're prey for the sharks and the orcas. So those mothers probably, they time it, you know, just when they feel that their new little one can safely make that journey. And so some of them are probably on their way, and some of them maybe even a little bit into May. That's what I read.
All right. So when they do make the trip from Baja up to the Arctic, there is room for concern for them because the babies are hunted by orca and shark, huh?
They definitely are. Mm-hmm. That's what we read.
Wow.
So Kathy, do you
even
remember?
The adults are attacked by orcas. I mean, I read about this on the Orca Network. That
really? Okay, so they'll attack adult gray whales.
They will attack. I don't know. You know, I'm not an expert on whether they would kill an adult, but if a pod of orcas were attacking it, I suppose they could definitely do some damage.
I read that there were scratches, that sometimes you could see scratches, from orca bites on their grass.
Yeah, right, and that's one of the ways they identify some of the local orcas and the residents that are in the Puget Sound area, you know, or by their color markings, but also by, you know, notches and bites out of their dorsal fins.
Well, all right. Now, we need to get back to our trip, and I appreciate all your extra information. Kathy, would you like to stay and be a part of our conversation?
I certainly could, or I could go down and listen. I'm enjoying this.
No, well, you can just hang with us, and then you can...
OrcaNetwork.org and also the Center for Whale Research, which is www.whaleresearch.com, and that's out of Friday Harbor.
WhaleResearch.com. www.whaleresearch.com. Very cool.
Right.
All right. So
okay.
I want to make sure that we finish the trip with you guys. So you did 2 days in that first lagoon.
And then I think the
bed and breakfast. And then you got on the plane again? And,
well, I think we had one last morning session.
One last morning.
We had to say goodbye to the whales. And so because we wouldn't be touching the whales and have that experience over in the Sea of Cortez, that would be a different experience.
Oh, okay.
So we would be seeing whales, and there are different whales that we anticipated that we might be able to see.
When there was some other marine life and birds and stuff that you were also up close, you were talking...
Yeah.
What other kinds of things in this first place were you seeing?
Well,
you were showing me pictures of kind of the rocks off in the distance.
There were cormorants and brown pelicans and terns and a lot of the, you know, wonderful shorebirds. A
lot of ospreys.
Ospreys. Yeah.
Huh.
And then over on the, and then I think we went on that to an aviary sanctuary. To a special place where we could see a lot of different birds
in that one.
Mike just handed me a cruise with the whales and Orca Network, a Whale Watch fundraiser that's coming up on April 27th. So I will hold on to that, and I'll tell you guys about that in current events, which I'm going to do next hour. But just so you know, there's an event coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, great. Okay, well, so anyway,
so
we get on the plane.
So you had one last morning with touching the whales, and you got to say goodbye. Did you feel like the whales you'd seen already on that trip came in to say goodbye to you?
Oh.
I'm not sure they were there.
You didn't recognize them, huh?
They were beautiful whales, and I have to say that I think we were all talking to the whales. I mean, it became very personal for all of us. And I think that as we reached down, and I was amazed we didn't fall out of the boat because we were all practically head first down with
hanging over,
trying to get to the whales. But
that picture was so cute of the baby whale coming right up, nose out of the water, and John just reaching over the side of the boat and touching the nose with his finger. What a precious, that's a beautiful photograph.
And so we just were thrilled, and it just felt like a very special, you know, just unforgettable.
All right. So then, so now we're off to another adventure. So
we get a
midday,
picnic. Midday, we get our picnic lunch and jump
in the plane
and fly from Laguna Ojo de Libra over to the Midriff Islands. There's a whole a series of about 20 islands in the Sea of Cortez. It's a little bit north and east.
Okay.
It's about a 45-minute flight. We drive, we land there, get in a little taxi from the airport, and it's a half mile into the town where we get on a boat and go for, I'd say, 45 minutes at 25 miles an hour, so you can see how far it is around, to this beautiful crescent, absolutely deserted beach.
Wow.
Out in the middle of nowhere. You can't, there's no roads to it, no nothing. It's just.
You have to go by boat.
You have to go by boat, or if you have a seaplane, I guess you could get to it. But that was where we spent the last three nights.
And that's where the yurts. Yurts on the beach or something?
Yurts right on the beach.
Yeah. And does the Baja Air Ventures, do they own those yurts?
Yes.
Or do they rent them, or they own them?
Yeah, Kevin's wife is Mexican, and so she is allowed to own this property.
Oh, so this private Crescent Beach, they own this.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, so that's a real good reason to do this Baja Air Ventures.
It was really special, and the yurts, I mean, it's not like in a tiny little pup tent or a small tent, but I mean, this is a
they're kind of big, like dome round, things,
yeah,
aren't
they're
they?
Round yurts, and inside, very, you know, have
I would say,
very,
what, 25 feet in diameter, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
It was
and
quite,
then there's a central, larger yurt with a kind of a porch or patio out there where we all congregate for just wonderful cooking. And margaritas, of course.
but the cooking is done right there in a yurt on the beach. Huh?
In the central yurt, but each couple had their own yurt.
One couple per yurt. Huh?
Yeah, and each per and
very
the beds are, you know, okay. This isn't camping in tents.
And
we had
this
solar
is
showers.
Really very comfortable
solar
mattresses.
Showers, you said?
Yes, solar showers
and comfortable beds.
And a composting toilet. I mean, so it's very
in each one, so you aren't running out to the outhouse.
Wow. That sounds like it's kind of as good as you get down there.
Yeah, no, it's very comfortable.
Wow.
And they had...
creature comfort compared to some of the other ones that go down
there. Good choice, Kathy, picking that one out.
Yeah, I might add that there are no roads out to this place, so they have to haul all their water in and haul all of their laundry out to be done. So it is quite remote, very remote.
Wow, so all of that stuff comes in by boat or plane.
Comes in by those little pangas.
Pangas, yeah. Wow. Wow,
all
that's
the groceries
amazing.
And so, I think that there was a very minimal impact on the environment compared to a big resort, situation. But each day that we were there, we would go out in the pangas and look for whales or walk on the beach. And the whales that we would be looking for over there were the blue. There was a possibility we might see a blue whale or a minke whale or say whale.
There were a lot of different kinds of whales.
There were humpbacks. The last morning, we saw a whole pod of humpback whales that flashed right by us, and dolphins that were leaping up
and sea lions too.
Sea lions are there
playing in the sun. Just sea lions. Just
and then
probably about 100 of them.
Last morning, Andy took us on a lovely hike over the ridge of the mountain to the bay beyond, and we saw all kind. And he talked about all the desert flowers and the cactus, the big cardone cactus that's all of the beautiful desert life, so it was, you just felt like you were being just immersed with just this rich in all these wonderful things that were just so natural and beautiful.
Well, it does sound like
very
a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
And if one could afford this would be the way to go for going down to Baja because with the Baja Air Ventures and because it's all inclusive, everything's covered, and it sounds like great.
It's just a week. It's not quite.
Yeah,
a week.
It's not
it's not
that
a long time, but it's.
And what do you got there, John?
Oh, it's just the website.
Is this the only thing they do? Is this trip because, you know, the wife owns the Crescent Beach and stuff, or do they do other stuff
I
as well?
I think in the summer, there are other, you know, besides the whale watching trips, they have other trips in the summer to see the whale sharks and other things and more of the sea life.
They also, it's a really big fishing area in the Sea of Cortez, and I think Andy was telling us that they bring a lot of fishing groups down to that same, you know, that same
Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness,
they call it.
Yeah, the Los Animas was the name of it. Wilderness
Animas.
Camp, Los Animas, and they do a lot of fishing in the Sea of Cortez.
All right, well, unfortunately, we are out of time for the second hour of Animal World here today, but I'll leave it up to you guys because I know you said you weren't absolute firm on your having to leave at 11. So if you would like to stay and chat for another 10, 20 minutes, we could certainly do that, and then I'll do the rest of the show after that, or we can send you off now with blessings and thanks for sharing your adventure. And
we'll stay a little bit.
Okay.
And we might get a question or two also.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So we'll leave phone lines open. Kathy, you want to hang with us over the break?
Thanks,
here?
Kathy. That's great.
Sure,
I'd love to have you with.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we'll put
listening.
Kathy on hold. We are going to close out the second hour of Animal World. We'll fire up the third hour, and then I will hold all the business and current events and follow up until a little later in the hour, and we'll just wrap this all up in a pretty little package when we return. So Animal World continues with whales straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.